Welcome to We the People wow. Radio. That was not Eric Swalwell. He is not in studio with us.
Nice.
Oh.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah. We have a serious topic, though, so.
Yes, we do.
Oh, I better start it off with a little fun.
Yeah,
otherwise, people
just get it out of your system right
freak
now.
Freak out. All right. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
I can at least get that out without laughing.
Yeah.
Most days, other than there's the other days.
And our sponsor this hour.
Do that, Bill.
Is Pape Machinery. Pape Machinery is our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in beautiful downtown Shasta Lake. Pape is right now in the process of becoming one of the largest steel dealers in the Reading area. Inventory has arrived. They're getting it up on the shelves right now. So if you're getting ready for spring, need a new chainsaw or hedge trimmer or weed eater or whatever it might be, come in and see them. They'll have some good deals going. Also, they'll have quite a few parts on hand. If you own a steel product right now, they might be able to fix you up parts-wise. So if you're looking for a tractor or a lawn tractor or implements or whatever, they stock it all there in the John Deere line. Their phone number is 226-9226, or you can catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
How do you spell that, Bill?
That's P-A-P-E.
Machinery.
Machinery.
They can just look up machinery, because that's not tricky.
Yeah, and it's not Pepe, and it's not Pepe or whatever. It's Pape.
Because there's accent over the E, but there you don't have to do that in the spelling.
No, you don't have to do that.
It's just tricky, yeah. Since I think Robert puts that on online. So I guess I should say something about that.
Yeah.
Actually, it's kind of fun. We used to broadcast in Philadelphia and the Jersey Shore a long time ago with our friend Rick Trader, and he has taken up a project on television. I'm looking it up swiftly as I'm saying this. If only my computer were as swiftly as my mouth.
Wow, that's
Microsoft's like, let's call her. Yeah, we want to. Yeah, no, we don't. Okay, so it's the American Uncensored News Network. I know it's AUN, but I always forget what the things are. American Uncensored News Network. And actually, we do have a link to that on the front page of the website at wethepeopleradio.us. And we'll be posting YouTube links, actually, of the show if you would like to look at the pratfalls. We're trying to keep those to a minimum. Ashley's in the Ashley's in there going, yes, I'm watching you.
Well, she's not banging her head on the desk yet. So.
No, not yet. Okay. And she is in a soundproof room, so even if she goes completely berserk, we'll never know. She'll just be, she's like, what's his name, the mime, you know. All I could think of is Inspector Clouseau, but that's the wrong Frenchman.
That's not it.
I think it's Marcel Marceau. Oh,
it's not my dog.
It's not my dog. Yes, you have lessons for the Mankey? Actually, okay, so. Da, 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 da.
Who's our guest today?
To the serious stuff, because this is serious stuff, actually. So our guest, we have two guests today. We have June is on with us. We have not had her on since 2018, like in the fall. I could have sworn it was more recent than that.
Last year.
No, we've been doing a lot of programs on China, and I have to say, a little program note here, the only tracking I can do on listenership is the listenership actually on our site, on the wethepeopleradio.us site. And
yeah,
I could,
we're not signed up with Armatron or any of those. Yeah. That
I think they make watches. Is that what it is? No. Anyway,
no.
Whatever the thing's called. Anyway, we don't have that. So, but I can track what's going on our website. And I have to say, over the last week, I posted the show early, the topic and all that. In the last week, 44% of the people tapping our site are out of Singapore,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of interesting. They overtook the U.S.
The Ukraine.
Yeah, and they overtook the Ukrainians. Ukrainians, yeah. You got to duke it out with the – are they Singaporeans? Sounds kind of weird. Singapore Eye?
I think they're Chinese.
I don't know, you guys. You better email me. Don't hack in. Just send me a straight email.
You can go.
I just want a regular email.
Yeah, regular pathway, please.
Yeah, I don't want it to show up in my bank account or anything weird like that.
The Chinese hacking is getting a little old.
It is. We've done lots of shows on that. So there is a tab at the top of the page labeled China, which makes it pretty straightforward, and you can find all the shows we have done on that. Oh, it is Singaporean. Our engineer, in her handy Googleness in there, has done that for us. So anyway, it's important. There's a lot going on. We're being really not told much of anything. You get the same kind of dopey little talking points, and you think, well, okay, we know it's very closed as far as the information that comes out of China. So are they telling us the truth? Are they lying? I mean, you know, really, where are we headed? So we thought we would have June come on. She is a former member of the Chinese Communist Party, so she would actually know some things about that.
Emphasis on former.
Yes, former.
Yes.
And I've met her in real life. She's very nice lady. She shares her journey often. She does a lot of public speaking, and she shares her journey from indoctrination by the Chinese government to an unvarnished understanding of American freedom and liberty. And that's very, very clear. First, she was the one who got us started on this, mm-hmm. this topic of China, because I thought, we don't know anything about this.
Nope.
We've got to learn a lot more. And then she hooked us up with all her friends here. I've got her bio on there, and today kind of her topics in this first hour will be the humanitarian crisis that's sweeping China, the long arm of China through the World Health Organization and media influence, and how that affects us in the U.S. and honestly everywhere else. I mean, everybody's affected by this stuff. And a wake-up call to the global economy and pharmaceutical industry and the likelihood of coronavirus becoming a seasonal pandemic. And then in the second hour, we will be joined by Dr. Wen Chen. We've had two Dr. Chens on. This is Dr. Chen number one, actually, in our program listing. And we've done shows with her, too, and I would encourage you to go and research those. All of our archives are free for your access online, and they have no commercial breaks in them. So it's easy, and your MP3 files, you can download them. We don't care what you do with them. If you want to burn them on CDs and give them to your friends or sell them at a fundraiser or put them on little flash drives, you can do whatever you want with them. We do this show to provide information to the public and to give you guys an avenue to get that out to people who wouldn't normally get this information.
If you do decide to do that, I do take donations. Don't forget Bill.
You're going to get dinner.
Oh, okay.
We pay Bill in dinner that he has to cook for himself. I might add. It's quite a gulag we're running.
Yeah.
But anyway, just, you know, a lot of times people are worried about copyright infringement, and they're we're gonna search the web and find out you posted our link somewhere. We totally don't care, and we're not searching the web to find out. So there you have it. That's all the program notes for today.
There you are.
And I'm guessing we have June on the line. So June, here we've got a couple of minutes here before that first break. Maybe you could kind of let people know what we're. I mean, I kind of gave them your talking points, but that's the end of my information.
Hey, great to be on a show again. Has it been that long? I cannot believe I first got on your show.
I looked because I went back on, I was going to swipe your bio, you know, when I made the page for today. And I went back and I looked, I thought, are you kidding me?
I know, it seems like it was just like last summer or something.
We've done a whole bunch of shows on China. Yeah, it was November of 2018.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Lots happened since then, and we've learned a lot.
Absolutely. And then thank you for doing this. And, yeah, so coronavirus, I think it's near and dear to everyone's heart right now these days. So I'm very glad that your readership has the interest in this and give us the kind of the avenue to talk about it. So I've been following the news for a long time, ever since the first outbreak and ever since we came to know that the whistleblower doctor in China was arrested. And now part of it was because I can read Chinese and I like to go to those independent social media posts that written in Chinese to kind of understand what's going on. And every day I listen to three different independent commentators, you know, to understand the updates, the latest and greatest from China about the coronavirus. And then so to this day, I wouldn't call myself an expert, but I would definitely say I stay on top of everything that's about coronavirus in China. And so I'm glad that we can talk about it today.
Your expertise, though, is really in, where that meets the interest of the public is that, well, A, you can read Chinese, so you get to see what's going on firsthand. But the other part of it that's really something that we don't know anything about here in the U.S., people talk about censorship and they talk about all that, but we haven't got a clue. We haven't got a clue
right.
What real censorship is all about. So you can kind of read between the lines and know what's propaganda from the government. And we don't know that. When they tell us, oh, we only have, you know, 8 or 9 people that are sick, and, you know, the people in China, all of a sudden you get these videos and there's body bags all over the place. Like, oh.
And then they update the numbers.
I think somebody's lying. Let's take a really quick break. We'll come back and then we won't interrupt you. We'll give you a good long run at it. You'll have like 15 minutes. So
sounds great.
Get a glass of water. We'll come right back. You are listening to We the People. Please join us online at We the People Radio. A little Carly Simon for you.
When they move into your neighborhood, they take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body.
A little Pat Benatar. We were going to come up back with Bad Medicine. I was like, that doesn't sound like Bad Medicine. That sounds like Pat Benatar.
That's not Pat Benatar.
All right. So, June, when you're reading all of this, all these publications, what jumps out at you?
Well, there are a few things.
Yeah, where to start, huh?
Well, the first is, I mean, it's very obvious, it's cover-up after cover-up. And then when I talk about my personal journey, I share with everyone, you know, I think the characteristics of the Communist Party is twofold, brutality and the deceit. So through this, how the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, handles the coronavirus, I see so many classic examples of how it does cover up. But the other thing is that this, which is really I want to spend a little bit of time on today, is to talk about the humanitarian crisis that's happening in China today. Because there's so many heartbreaking stories that I've read and I've heard, you know, and it's happening in China every day, every hour, and every minute. So what we normally think is an original, you know, an outbreak of a virus has quickly turned into a tragedy for, I would say, billions of the people living there. And especially for those 11 million living in Wuhan City, which is the epicenter of the outbreak. Now, many of us kind of heard about the lockdown in Wuhan and in many other adjacent areas. About the Chinese New Year, kind of on the first day of the Chinese New Year here in the United States. Well, I was really surprised because that was unprecedented. And later I learned about 300,000 people just managed to escape. To flee before the lockdown in Wuhan, just a few hours before that. And it was kind of interesting to see that some used, you know, the fever medication to lower their body temperature so that they could pass those detection tests. And others had to make tough choices between life and their loved ones. There was a shocking video that went out, that going viral on the internet. You know, a couple, they tried to take their two sick kids on the plane. And they were stopped by the security at the airport, and they argued for hours. Not only they caused delay of the flight, but eventually they realized that they couldn't go with their kids. So they decided to abandon their kids, left them at the airport with the security people, and they decided to board a plane by themselves without a kid. And it was very shocking to me.
Wow.
But it's happening. It's happening every day because I think in face of the crisis, it really it's a test to many people's true colors, between life and their loved ones, what do they pick? And so you might think that those lucky 300,000 people that, you know, escaped the Wuhan lockdown, they probably are better off, but not so. No hotels or gas stations or hospitals are allowed to serve them. If you have a Wuhan ID, your ID, you know, with your Wuhan, whatever the city or the origin, or you have a Wuhan license plate, then you will be denied your service from those hotels, gas stations, or hospitals.
So what are they supposed to do? Just stay in their house and
starve to death?
Eat crackers?
No, these are the people that already outside of Wuhan. What a government wants to do is really to encourage people to report on them, to take them back to where they came from. So they say that no hospital. This is why if you're sick and you need immediate medical assistance, and the hospital will tell you that, I'm sorry, you have to go back to where you came from. And again, the local people will be mobilized to report on them. And there's a sad story that just on the Chinese New Year's Eve, this person is who escaped from the lockdown, and he was in another city, and he was reported by someone to the police. And he was furious. He was so outraged that he killed that informer just on the Lunar Chinese, the New Year's Eve, because,
wow,
you know, it's supposed to be a celebration with all your family and friends. It's supposed to be a great time to get together. And then he was so upset that the person reported on him, and therefore he had to face the possibility of sending back to Wuhan. And so, and then this time I really care about what's going on in Wuhan, because I have my aunt and her families, her two daughters and their families, living in Wuhan. And I wasn't able to get hold of them even once. I tried to call them many times.
Are you still unable to get a hold of them?
No, I can't. Now there's a rumor that they have already implemented the partial cutoff of the internet in Wuhan. And they say the entire city, they will bring down the internet in the entire city starting March 1st. And so my heart really goes out to all those unfortunate 99% of the people who cannot escape before the lockdown and then are stuck in Wuhan. And let me just share with you a little bit about their life there. And this is what I learned from the social media, those posts and those videos. Many of those are from those independent, the bloggers or the so-called self-made journalists. And I feel like people there are so fed up, and they would do whatever it takes to let the news out. And so I'm grateful for getting that information and being the messenger and then kind of broadcast that to the people living here in the Western world to let them know what's going on. So, for instance, the hospitals would turn away the patients because every hospital is running at a full capacity. So many died even before they were diagnosed, and because the hospital couldn't do any testing on them. And so when they died, they died for those they called unknown reason. And then so their death is not recorded as part of this. Yes. And this is part of the reason why the number is so low today. Now, there are many other reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are videos showing that dead bodies are piled up in those hospital hallways. And then just the doctors and nurses were just so busy, you know, running around and trying to take care of those patients who are still alive. And nobody has the bandwidth to remove those dead bodies. And imagine the infection. Because the virus is still there on their bodies.
Sure.
And then so for those who were turned away by the hospitals, I mean, some of them committed suicide because, you know, the Chinese, they're living in very, you know, the compact spaces. And then if you have, like, more than one room, you're lucky. So how could you not getting your family, your loved ones infected while you are told to do self-quarantine at home? I saw those videos of people jumping off their windows or just doing some other way to end their lives because they just simply do not want to burden their families. And then this also applies to some with the pre-medical conditions, because if they rely on those medical treatments a couple of days, a couple times a week, and then now all the hospitals and then those medical clinics are only catering for the coronavirus patients, then they have nowhere to go to continue their medication or treatment. And then some just decided to, you know, this is too hard for them to endure and decide to end their lives.
So I would think it's safe to say there's probably more people that aren't in the hospital that are infected than are in the hospitals.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
And then people go crazy because the mobility, right? They say, hey, quarantine, we're going to impose this quarantine thing on every family. Now, there's restriction. There has been a mobility restriction ever since the lockdown. It used to be like one person from every household can go out to do grocery shopping once every 3 days. And now, in some areas, they change that completely. They go extreme to no one should be able to go out for the next 10 or 14 days. And then to impose that, to ensure that, you know, people comply to that, some areas, they would even lock or weld those community gates or those entrance, you know, those, you know, people living in those alleys. And then they would actually create a gate, you know, the alley entrance, and they would actually lock from the outside to make sure that no one can go out. Now, how are they gonna survive if they
exactly.
run out of food?
Are the Chinese, because I know, like, those of us who live in rural areas, you know, we're pretty, I don't know, I guess most people are pretty aware that we could have disruption in the supply lines. You know, we have a lot of fire here in the area where we live. So you don't know what's coming down the pipeline. So we tend to have, you know, extra water, extra food, that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Do they do that in China? Is that a common?
No.
They don't have room, do they?
Exactly. Not in the metropolitan area, I would say, because they don't have room to stock that.
Their houses
and
are very small.
People, absolutely. And for the common people, many of those rely on public transportation to go to those supermarkets to get food.
Mm-hmm.
And so they couldn't even if they have room in their house, they couldn't even use the right transportation to order that stuff, right? It's a norm that people normally go out every few days to do grocery shopping. Like when my parents lived in China, they would go to the local market like every other day. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, because you can't stockpile, so you have to go frequently.
Absolutely. I would imagine that probably at the beginning of the lockdown, people just flooded those supermarkets and got all the food they could. But again, because of the transportation limit, how much can you buy?
Right. Yeah, I saw pictures of some of the stores over there right at the very beginning, and they were already sold out of food.
Exactly. Yeah, there was not enough supply anyway. And so I'm so afraid that, you know, alongside this coronavirus, you know, killing millions of many people, I wouldn't say millions right now, but there will be a widespread kind of the famine going on. And I think this is completely man-made, right?
Well, when we come back, I'm really curious to know, I mean, also, you know, a lot of people have money put away that's not electronic money. They have physical money put away. They have silver. They have things like that in the event of some sort of disruption. I'm curious if any of those types of preparations are things that people in China are, for one, even able to do or allowed to do. So we'll be right back with our guest, June. We're going to head into the break with Bad Medicine by Bon Jovi. So you're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. A little song by Journey that we listened to in high school takes on a whole new meaning in terms of the coronavirus. So, June, people don't have a place to store a bunch of food. They don't have a place to store a lot of water, that kind of thing. But what about even the means to do that? Because people aren't going to work, I'm assuming. So how do they get paid? And then even if there was stuff to buy, how do they do that?
It just looks like the whole system is going to crash by keeping people locked up.
It's going to crash. On one hand, the party really wants to contain the virus. On the other hand, it is so concerned of the economy because it's slipping. Every day that you stop the entire workforce, and then you're just losing so much money. And so it sends out a contradictory kind of instruction. And then just not long ago, it says, hey, it's safe now. I want everyone to go back to work. Well, guess what? There are so many cases that, you know, once they started going to work, first of all, only probably 25% of the companies and the organizations listened to that instruction and resumed to work. But then just a few days after that, people noticed that because there were some people who carried virus and might not have any symptoms, and then when they go back to work with, you know, a group of coworkers, and then they spread a virus to them. So there are so many cases that hundreds of workers have to be locked down in those workplaces because they don't know what to do. They do not want to further contaminate the entire community, but everyone else is so skeptical about, you know, whether is infected or not. So that's the dilemma right now the government is facing. And I want to go back to your original questions about if people have jewelry, if people have a little bit of money, can they get what they want? The answer is probably not. Recently, there was a video posted on the social network, and then it's actually shared in the Facebook as well here by some people. It's about this desperate woman, and she's so brave. In that video, she lives in Wuhan, and she almost yelled in the video, and she said, you know, even if I have money, it's not going to give me anything because we're facing this complete lockdown. And she says, well, the people in Hong Kong, I support you. The people in Tibet, I support you. Whoever, I support whoever wants to overturn this evil system, this evil party, because it's killing every one of us here. But we do not want to be silenced. So, and then the other reason is because Wuhan is facing the complete lockdown, and Wuhan itself is not an agricultural kind of the city, and even it's the province, Hubei, is not an agricultural place. So it relies on those transportation of the supply from other provinces to go into the province and the city. But because of the lockdown, and then no transportation is allowed to go in or out, and therefore there's a real shortage of the supply.
Yeah, that was my next question is
how do you get things in?
Well, the supply chain. I know here in America, grocery stores, big grocery stores, are usually supplied. You know, once a day, trucks come in and unload tons of groceries. Mm-hmm. How is it there? Because if you have, you know, hundreds of thousands of people that are out of food and they lift the ban, all those people are going to be heading to the store looking for something to eat. And I would imagine the store shelves are going to be empty for a long time just in restocking or refeeding the people that are starving now. So what's the prognosis there?
That's a very good question. So remember I said some communities imposed a complete lockdown and they locked those gates from outside. Now there are some communities a little bit more humane, and what they do is they allocate your supply every day. They leave those vegetables, whatever, according to how many people in your house, in your family, and then they give you a little pile of the vegetables, and then they ask you to go down there to pick it up, and it's not enough, but it's probably enough for them to survive for a few days. And then for those, I don't know how they manage to get the food in. They probably still partner with some farmers or some companies, but I would say even if they left that the lockdown thing, I don't think they would open all the stores just for the sake of, you know, keeping everyone safe and not spreading the virus. They wouldn't do that. But there are also stores, because this lockdown is not only affecting the people in Wuhan, but also those farmers who, you know, used to rely on selling those food and vegetables. And then so they go bankrupt. Many of those are little farmers. And then there are pictures and videos of those that they have to let those, you know, the vegetables and then food go rotten because there's no way for them to get that into the city. So there are crises going on for both the people suffering inside the city and also for the people, you know, who used to rely on that, the business model. to feed your family.
Yeah, we've run into that here as well. I mean, anytime you interrupt the supply chain, I mean, it's happened here with gas and certain food products. It takes months and months to get it back on track to where there's a steady supply of that product back on the shelves. And I would imagine in a situation like what they have over there, it's going to be even worse.
Right, yeah.
So are people hearing, like I know you haven't been able to hear from your relatives in Wuhan, but is there any communication coming out of there that you have heard about or seen?
Oh, yeah, a lot. That's how I learned what's going on, through those, like, how to self-made journalists or bloggers and post those videos and pictures. And then some of those, unfortunately, mysteriously disappeared, right, because the censorship. I mean, we all know that tragedy of the whistleblower doctor. I mean, he didn't do anything wrong. He simply just shared that news within his, his classmates and his peer doctors in that little group. And then he was summoned to the police a few days after that because that post went viral.
Right. He died, didn't he?
He died. He died earlier, early this month.
Was it from the virus?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So they said
he was going to go one way or the other.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And then there was his death now really caused a huge, huge impact. And I remember after his death, there was a wave of anger and grief flooded the Chinese social media site. And the top two trending hashtags were Wuhan government owes this doctor an apology, and we want freedom of speech. So those both hashtags were quickly censored. And then so when the next day when a BBC reporter tried to search that website for those hashtags and those posts, and then there were hundreds of thousands of those on that day, but then the next day they all disappeared. They have all been wiped.
Yeah.
Well, if you were going to send people I'm always like in the back of my head thinking, what are people thinking as they're listening to this? And I guess if I had to pick my top question, it would be, where would you direct people who don't speak Chinese? We should make that, we should clear that one up. So if they're just, Americans and only speak English and you know how limited
right.
we are,
right.
Where would you send them for good information that they can keep track of this and actually be of some help, be informed and be of help?
Ah, well, that's a very good question. I think
I would send them to the Epoch Times. Were you?
The Epoch Times, but I haven't really seen a lot on Epoch Times. The Facebook sometimes would post those, like the brave lady from Wuhan that I said earlier about, there's even money couldn't help to solve our problem, and I support the Tibetans. That video itself isn't Chinese, but someone did a good job of putting the English subtitle at the bottom.
Oh, nice.
And then that went viral on Facebook here because everyone can see it, and then they understand, and so many of them were moved to tears, they said. So I think we need more, we need information from sources like this more.
How about this? If you find some good sources, if you see some good articles or good video or whatever, and you think about it, if you send it to me, I'll continue to post that on the website for today. And I guess I should point out we're airing live on February 23rd, 2020, in case this replays later or you're listening later. So as of February 23rd, if you and Dr. Chen will remind her too when she gets on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys can send me that, it'll update automatically and people can use that as a bit of a resource.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What was the other thing?
The healthcare workers there, I mean, they're the people, at forefront and then dealing with this crisis right now.
Yeah, how are they
really
doing?
I feel for them. Not very good.
That's got to be super scary. It's like, I think I might call in sick today.
You can't.
Before I have to call in sick for real.
Right. They're denied the right to resign or even leave the lockdown zones. And they are on the breaking point because of the lack of medical resources, long working hours, and the fear for their own safety and their families. And let me just share with you, do not ever donate to the Red Cross in China. It is notorious for its corruption.
Oh, good to know.
That recent, yeah, please tell your listeners about
no
that.
No donations to the Red Cross in China, so just in case you thought that was a great idea.
It hoards so many N95 masks. It hoards so many medical supplies. And it only gives out 10% of those to those hospitals in Wuhan. The remaining 90% it sells to those third parties to make a huge profit. So don't ever do that. Because of that, those workers, healthcare workers, they have to wear those masks or those protection gear multiple days. And, you know, first of all, we do not really know how the virus is spread from one person to another.
That's true.
And then second of all, because of the poor equipment, I mean, they cannot even get themselves safe. And then, so many of those probably already carrying virus. And the latest I heard is that China communicates that there are about 5,000 healthcare workers already infected. And that's what they have reported. I do not know the true number, but I know that many of those are suffering. Some of those have already died. There were a few that have of those hospitals, the prominent hospitals, already died because of the virus. So even, you know, if you're the head of the hospital and you died, what does it tell you? Mm-hmm. What does it tell you about equipment, about the facilities, about the resources there to take care of the patients?
Yeah, that no one has any idea.
Yeah, yeah. And then I remember I saw a video captured this was at the beginning of the outbreak, after the lockdown, that I saw a video captured a medical worker screaming and weeping on top of her lungs. She just had enough. I mean, she couldn't take it anymore.
Oh, she was sitting down, like, in a waiting room or something.
Yeah.
I saw that last night.
Yeah, weeping. And then there was this one brave person that was, again, probably a month ago, because it's been that long, 30 days of the lockdown now. But I remember there was another brave one, and then she chose to use social media to send this great warning to the public. And she said, please do not believe what a government says. Take self-protection and prevention. And she said the real situation is far worse. And back then, a month ago, she gave the number. She says about 100,000 people have already been infected in Wuhan.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Well, on that cheerful note, we've got to take a really quick break, but really the censorship is something that cannot be underestimated. So we'll head out to the break with the police. Every breath you take, you're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Billy Joel kind of can't sum that one up enough. Need a little honesty. So June, we would be remiss not to tie in some politics with this, because we're at a kind of a, let's see, we'll call it an interesting crossroads, for lack of something more sensible to say. But this whole Bernie Sanders business here in the United States, you know, proposing that we shift our system. There is no such thing as democratic socialism. I mean, it's basically communism is what they're promoting. And
that's a cheap shot.
And I'm working for Bloomberg.
Yeah.
Many mics paid me to say that. So, I mean, as you watch that, as you watch Bernie Sanders, you know, sweep these primaries, that's got to be absolutely frightening for you. I mean, it's frightening for me, and I've never lived in a communist country.
It is frightening for me, but I have to say that knowing Trump, I feel like he could be easily to be defeated if Bernie does become the primary.
I'd like to believe that, too.
It's very entertaining, to be honest with you.
Right now we're enjoying the food fight, but
right,
I mean, the idea that people in this country are so clueless about what it would be like to live in a place where the government controlled everything, while China is literally spinning off its axis with this virus and all the misinformation and the disinformation.
Absolutely. I often tell people that if you really adore socialism and communism and you want a country to move towards this, take a look at China now, how it's handling this outbreak. Because today's China can be tomorrow's America.
Mm-hmm.
No kidding about that. If
mm-hmm.
they take away our guns, if they take away our rights, if we completely rely on the government, that's what's going to happen. You're going to rely on government for everything, even during the crisis like this.
Yeah, I mean, it's never worked. It's always failed. And yeah, we can do it better, and it won't turn out the same. But that's just a lie. It always turns out the same. And there's so many examples of that throughout history, and currently countries that are failing under socialist rule. But it's like Aaron said, it's amazing how many people look at this and go, "Hey, I can wash my student loan out. I can get."
Everything will be free.
Everything will be free. It's going to be so much better.
And we'll get rid of the middleman for our medical insurance, because the government...
And don't forget the billionaires.
Yeah,
no
problem.
It's just not fair that people, invented something or built something and made so much money.
That's right. We should take that away.
Yeah, take that away. There's just so many flaws that it's amazing people can be so clueless.
Right. Well, it's because it's utopia, isn't it? It sounds great.
Oh, yeah.
That was how those people 100 years ago lured those, people who had nothing to follow them, and because all those high-sounding words. And I do want to talk about the WHO, the World Health Organization, because people say, hey, and then it's great that Chinese and you can share this information with us, but, I'm still skeptical because the World Health Organization, isn't that supposed to be, independent? And recently, didn't you see that the director general from the organization praised openly, of China, how it responds to the crisis? So, it's kind of contradictory to what you're telling us today. So what I wanted to do is to give you a little bit history of the WHO, and how it, during the 2003, almost 17 years ago, during the SARS outbreak,
mm-hmm. Oh, right.
Back then, yeah, back then there was a huge concern of the numbers that the Chinese Communist Party reported. So the organization decided to send its own troops to Beijing to conduct its own independent assessment. Now, that unplanned visit completely caused chaos in the local hospitals in Beijing. I heard stories like one hospital scrambled to transfer all the patients to a local hotel because they had money. Or another one who was less, fortunate, had to come up with a creative plan to hire some minivans, so they transport those patients along with the medical staff to those minivans and on day trips. So those minivans had to cruise around the city many times during that day, so that the people from that organization wouldn't be able to see those and wouldn't be able to catch the evidence. And then so later, many staff from the day trip died from the infection. And one person survived, but she had to cope with the horrific side effects of the hormone treatment. Because if you have SARS, then the only way for you to live is to keep having those hormone treatment. And then it has a horrible, horrible side effect. So she's almost handicapped right now, but she's still alive. And that's, that was how the government handled SARS back in 2003. But there was definitely a lesson learned from that. The lesson learned was that the Chinese government felt it was humiliated, and it vowed to influence the WHO after that. So just a long story short, just a few years ago in September 2015, China announced the creation of a $2 billion fund increasing to $12 billion by 2013 to the organization that I chose. So this explained why recently the current director general praised in public, you know, of China's response to the coronavirus crisis. And it also it renews, I think, a long-standing debate about its independence. I know that funds is extremely important to organizations like that, but I also believe that you shouldn't really bow to the influence, to the money in face of a crisis like this, because it affects everyone, not just the billions of Chinese living in the mainland China, but everyone literally across, you know, every continent.
Sure. And, you know, if it's not handled properly, I mean, for goodness sakes, look what happened with the Spanish flu. I mean, that was a horrendous pandemic that swept the globe. And we were not immune to that either. I mean, the U.S. lost a lot of people in that one. Same thing could happen here if they don't do the right thing. And I think a lot of people are worried that what's going on in China is being underreported, and they may not be able to stop it from leaving. Well, they haven't been able to stop it from leaving China, but the rate of spread is pretty frightening.
And yes. that's only as far as we know.
Right, exactly.
Exactly. And then China just admits that the worst hasn't come yet. Internally. This is the word internally. And I just read the news and it says a woman in Wuhan with no symptoms at all has managed to infect five of her relatives. Is this just reaching a new height of the challenge that we're facing
right
today? Because there are still so many unknowns about this virus, which Dr. Chen will actually share her perspective in the second hour about the origin of this virus. It just seems to me that this virus is so smart, and it's just it can oftentimes be spread under the radar.
Sure.
And I know that because of the dispatch of those passengers on Diamond Princess, that cruise, and then some of those already in our country, and I just fear that, you know, before we know it, that will be widely spread.
Yeah, it's just going to explode. I mean, when you can pass it on
and not even know, not even sick.
You know, have symptoms and you're contagious, that's almost impossible to stop the spread. So, and I agree with you. I think the worst is yet to come. I hate to be a naysayer, but it's
too late.
I know I already did yeah, I think it's going to get a lot worse.
Yeah, so I'd like to share with the audience a rule of thumb. When you get some numbers from the Chinese government, the simplest calculation is to multiply that by 10, and that's about
oh,
right.
Is that all?
Wow.
Well,
just 10.
Well, this confirms because not long ago, actually, February 20th, there's a local website called Baixin. It's a leading classified site in China. Now, people, if they want to
hold that thought, June. We're gonna hit the news here in just a second. We're gonna come back with June and her friend Dr. Wen Chen. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, WeThePeopleRadio.us, and here we have the end of the world with REM for you, Bill.
Right on.